This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Friday, it's a fantastic Friday, and that's Dr. Jesse Friday, and sure, fiscal collapse is upon us. Either way, it's a great day. America's lecturing Ukraine about attacking the Russian oil fields. That's probably a bad sign. We'll discuss that tonight. We'll talk about Dome's latest comments, Biden's latest comments. People want to know, what's the system going to do if Trump wins the election? People want to know, how do you start running for office? People want to talk about nachos, political blackmail. Would I ever do it? All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I want to begin here. Sorry, Jesse. In case you're wondering, this guy's referencing something we talked about yesterday, something I have discussed before, but yesterday I went into a little bit more detail about illegal immigration, how we can't withstand any more of it. We must create a compact, a red state compact coalition, where the red states make and enforce their own immigration law. And we need tent cities for illegals. Mass deportations, arrests. Texas needs to build the wall. It needs to be that kind of significant, because the country, no matter what, the country cannot survive unending illegal immigration. No nation in the history of the world could survive what the United States of America is currently going through. An open border, the world knows it. The world's taking its poorest people, its most violent people, its everything, and they're dumping them all in the United States of America. It will collapse our country. It will. And so I got a bunch of different emails, support and against, but this guy says, this one's titled Interstate Compact on Immigration. He says, sorry, Jesse, but in the absence of congressional consent, interstate compacts like you described are literally, I'm going to let that word go for now, unconstitutional. Article 1, Section 10, Clause 3. The states can only act individually, when so on and so forth. Of course, what Biden is doing is unconstitutional also, so on and so forth. Now, let me address this. And this was not an insulting email at all. And by the way, let me clarify, he's 100% right. What I described yesterday, a red state coalition where they make and enforce their own immigration law, build their own wall, deport their own illegals, it is unconstitutional. So allow me to explain where I come from on it. We are in a post-constitutional country. Post-constitutional country. That is not me being anti-constitution. I love it like you love it. It was an incredible founding document that gave us a real basis in law of freedom in this country. But we are now post-constitutional. Now, what does that mean? Why are we post-constitutional? Well, once the people in charge decide that they have no use for the Constitution whatsoever, and once the legal system gets taken over by enough judges and whatnot that they also agree they have no use for the Constitution whatsoever, well, then the Constitution is null and void. And I don't celebrate that. Remember, I'm not cheering where we are. But look, this human being sits on the Supreme Court.
So my biggest concern is that your view has the First Amendment hamstringing the government in...
Yeah, that's what it's supposed to do. We live in a post-constitutional country. No laws Congress passes are constitutional. Nothing these people do is constitutional. They don't even, frankly, pretend anymore that it's constitutional. So what we cannot survive on the right, what we absolutely 1,000% cannot survive on the right, we cannot survive existing underneath a constitution when the left does not. And this is what I mean. You say, well, what Biden's doing is unconstitutional, but we can't do this because it's not constitutional. No, 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 no. It cannot possibly work that way. Either we're both under the Constitution, either both sides are restricted by the Constitution, or none of us are. What we can't do is live in a world where I have all these restrictions from the Constitution, you hate the Constitution, and you have none. That just guarantees death for me. Chris and I, me and Jewish producer Chris, we're going to go into business together. And we're going to sell, what are we going to sell? Chris, we'll sell jewelry. You probably know something about that. We'll sell jewelry. We're going to open up our own jewelry shop, Jesse and Chris. And we sign a contract with each other on how the business is going to work. And one of the basic things on it is, hey, the business, whatever money the business takes in, you, Chris, can only take out 30% of the money from the business. And I, Jesse, can only take out 30% of the business, 30% of the money the business takes in, right? Right? Okay, you with me? That's what the contract says. But if I decide one day that, well, you know what? Screw that. I'm taking 40% out, 50% out. And I don't have any legal recourse. Well, then what choice does Chris have? Chris only has one choice. He better take his money out too, or he's screwed. He's finished. He can't limit himself to the contract when I have broken the contract. You understand? When I describe a red state coalition, I'm not describing, or I'm not trying to save the Constitution. I want to be honest with you here. I'm trying to save you and me. I'm trying to save our way of life. If my city has a rule, and it might, I don't know, but if my city has a rule that says if there's a house fire, I'm not allowed to put it out. I must get a hold of the fire department. The fire department has to come put it out. But the house catches fire and one of my sons is trapped upstairs. Well, you can take your city rule and wipe your rear end with it, because I'm going to try to put out the fire to save my son. The Constitution cannot exist as handcuffs that keep us from trying to save our way of life. The Constitution is supposed to be handcuffs on the government. If you get to a place as a nation, and we're very clearly there, where the government doesn't care about those restrictions anymore, well, then me, an American citizen, a father, a husband, a citizen, I have an obligation to save my country by any means necessary. I understand what I described as unconstitutional. I know. And nothing you wrote in that email is wrong. We cannot save our way of life playing with handcuffs on. I didn't choose to live in a post-constitutional country. You didn't make that choice either. I hope you still like and revere the Constitution. But allow me to say this once again. We have said it before. People hate when I say it. I don't give a crap, because it's true. The Constitution is not going to save you. It is not. When the right brings up the Constitution, I've made this comparison before, it sounds like somebody who's facing a charging grizzly bear and they hold up a piece of paper that says, "No bear attacks allowed." That's what you sound like when you bring up the Constitution to me. We are dealing with America-hating communists. You know what? Actually, that's not even close to far enough. We are dealing with human-hating communists. These are anti-humans trying to burn your country to ash. if there's a course of action that might stop them from doing that, and you're going to stop from taking that action because of the Constitution, well, we're done. Just hand them the keys. We're done. We are in the part of the game where we are scrambling to save our way of life. That's the game we're in now. We are trying to salvage our standard of living, whatever we can, our way of life, some semblance of a normal, strong society for our children and their children after them. That's the game we're in now. We have got to drop this 1990s conservatism mentality where everyone carries around a pocket constitution and everyone thinks that you can pull that out and cite that to your local Democrat state senator and they're somehow going to be swayed by that. I love it like you love it. The Constitution ain't going to save you any more than that piece of paper would stop the charging grizzly bear. All right? All right. And that leads me directly to what happened today in the House of Representatives, and we'll talk about that in a moment. Now, maybe it's time for us to all be a little bit more purposeful with everything we do. Remember, we had that talk yesterday about corporate America and ESG and how it works with the big finance giants forcing this filthy cultural Marxism crap onto everybody. That's why we have to put our money where our morals are and shop with companies who share and promote our values. That's why you don't have Verizon or shouldn't. You should not have T-Mobile. You should not have AT&T. Especially when you have the option to switch to Pure Talk, you get the same service for half the daggone price. Pure Talk loves America so much, they hire Americans. Who else does that anymore? Pretty much nobody. When you deal with them on the phone, they're nice and they speak English and they understand English because they're Americans. Pick up your phone and switch to Pure Talk today. Dial #250 say Jesse Kelly. #250 say Jesse Kelly. Switch to Pure Talk.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Yeah, one more final word on this Constitution thing. And just so you know, I'm not dogging it, as you can hear. But I'm reminded of the movie. Chris was actually the one who brought it up during the break. No Country for Old Men. You ever see that movie? I'll get back to the Ask Dr. Jesse questions in a minute and the debt ceiling and whatnot. But you ever see that movie, No Country for Old Men? If you haven't, read the book. It's great. Watch the movie. If you're one of those people, it's great. They're both great. Honestly, they're both really great. And what you need to know about this scene, what you're about to hear, is the assassin, the bad guy, has caught one of the dudes who's coming to kill him. And the assassin is sitting there. The bad guy is getting ready to kill the good guy who is coming to kill him. And the bad guy is talking to the good guy. And the good guy is talking about how he has all these rules he follows. And that's kind of what makes him the good guy. And the bad guy says, as he's about to shoot him, he says this to him.
Let me ask you something. If the rule you followed brought you to this, of what use was the rule?
If the rule you followed brought you to this, what use was the rule? I'm not saying that specifically about the Constitution, but you and me, we've been talking about the Constitution for how long? How long have we referenced it, brought it up, yelled at our elected officials about it, and still here we sit. Wide open border, fiscal collapse upon us, maybe WW3. They stopped following it. They stopped caring about it. That's a tough place to be, but that's where we are. Now let's deal with the debt thing from today. I already ranted about it yesterday. I'm not doing it again. $1.2 trillion passed the House of Representatives today. It's, of course, everything's going to be signed, sealed, delivered. It's done. It's done. I just want to remind you once again that the fiscal collapse is here. It's not 50 years from now. It's not 10 years from now. It's here. Told you last night. Rand Paul told me personally. We're about 2-3 years away from people who receive Social Security getting a 20-some percent reduction like that. You talk about COLA increase, cost of living increase. No. Nope. Those are gone. Slashing. The slashing is coming because of the debt. And they don't care. No one does. Republicans don't. Democrats don't. And to be fair, and I don't really care about being fair to Congress. To be fair to them, though, the American people don't. That's why they don't. How many voters do you know go vote based on spending? When is the last time you talked to somebody who voted a certain way because they didn't like how much money their congressman or their senator sent? When's the last time? Can you even think of a time, a single time? People don't vote that way. The American people have gotten used to government goodies, to handouts, to endless spending, and they just don't care. And the heartbreaking part of that is when the problem gets here, when trouble comes, people will be looking around wondering, how did this happen? How did this happen? Like what I just said about Social Security, you already know all this. But how many people out there aren't listening right now and don't know? And how many people on Social Security who rely on it right now, how many people in 2-3 years when that check comes, how many of them are going to be mortified, blowing up the phone, friends, family? Has there been some mistake? They'll be blowing up the phone lines at the Social Security Department. Someone messed up my check. I don't know what happened. But totally lost. Watching the American people zombie-like sleep into a complete financial collapse is the most maddening thing in the world. But they don't care. People don't care. They don't show up to vote. They don't get educated on the issues. I actually had somebody talk to me the other day, or he was trying to defend the listless, knowledgeless American people. And he said to me, "Hey, Jesse, you don't understand. People have jobs. People work." Listen, I actually would give you that excuse if it was the year, honestly, if it was even the year 1950, I would give you that excuse. Why? It's more difficult to come by information. It's very, very difficult. If all you have is the newspaper, maybe one channel on the TV, if you even had one yet, you've got to go visit your local congressman. How do you even find out about what bills are being passed through Congress? It would be very, very difficult back in the day. But the 2024 American has zero excuse. None, zip, zilch. There is no excuse to be uninformed in politics. There's a guy I know. I'm not sure if he'd want me to give out his name. He'd probably be okay with it. But he has a website called Randoland. Randoland. Who is this guy? He's pretty honest about this. He's a former oil field worker. Just a blue-collar dude. What is Randoland? I think it's randoland.us, by the way. What is it? He goes through the bills in Congress, and he simply lays out all the ridiculous spending they do. Oh, we've got $50,000 to study unicorn farts in Antarctica. This is a normal dude who knows more about the spending than 99.99999% of the United States of American citizens. The average American has no excuse anymore. None. If you're uninformed, you want to be. Stop being an idiot. All right. I'm fine. I'm fine. Whatever. Spending is what it is. Just whatever. Go get a silent bag because they're spying on all of us too. When all the crap comes, the spying's going to get worse. What they're going to do, they're not going to reform themselves. They're going to crack down on us. That's what they're going to do. Bleed us dry for more money. Anyone who raises a stink's going to get cracked down on. So get a silent bag. S-L-N-T. What is it? It's a patented signal-blocking Faraday bag for your smartphone or your laptop. Your smartphone contains everything about you. Everything anyone would want to know, from governments to corporations. And they can access that information as your phone sits beside you on the desk right now. When you're not on it, it's in a silent bag. When you're not on your laptop, it's in a silent bag. Protect your data as if these people are after your data, because they are. SLNT.com/Jesse saves you 15% plus free shipping on qualifying orders. Silent.com/Jesse. We'll be back. What, Chris? We can make jokes. It's fine.
You got that right. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday. Remember, you can still email the show during the show. We are live here, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. All are welcome. Let's get to this one here. Hey, more cultured than Chris. Dear Mr. More Cultured Than Chris. Totally right. You seem to have a nose for politicians who are being blackmailed. Can that happen to anyone who gets into politics or only certain types of people? And if you found out a dirty secret about a truly evil politician which you could use against him or her, would you resist or take the opportunity? Thank you. Okay. One. No. Everyone is not susceptible to being blackmailed. No. What happens is human beings are flawed and fallen. Human beings do things that are wrong. I most definitely have many times in my life. And when you do things that are wrong, you don't necessarily want the entire world knowing about those things. So if you've got a list of those and it's bad and people find out about it, in politics, it's a big deal. In private life, it's not really a big deal. Whatever, someone blasts you on Facebook or something like that. But in politics, it can become a country-altering thing if a foreign entity or domestic entity that is against you threatens to ruin you with that thing. You cheated on your taxes 10 years ago. You got away with it. Someone got wind of it, found the documentation of it. They walk into your office and they tell you, hey, you're going to vote this way on this budget or you're finished. But no, not everyone is susceptible to it. Some people, even ones who have done wrong, are so against being blackmailed, they'll just flat out tell you, fine, tell everyone, I don't care. You're still not pushing me around. Many people have lived very clean lives and can't. The problem with it is most people have some dirt somewhere. It's just human nature. It's life. We're fallen. We're flawed. We're sinful human beings. We all have something, right? Everyone does. Everyone, let's be honest, everyone has many different things. Things you don't want the whole world knowing about. That's part of life. So no, not everyone is susceptible to being blackmailed. And it's not that I necessarily have a nose for politicians being blackmailed. I don't know. Maybe you would describe it that way. When here's kind of a barometer I use. I know you're discussing Ken Buck right now, who I have accused without, I don't have any evidence, by the way. It's just a theory of mine. I believe Ken Buck has been compromised in some way by someone. I have no idea who. None. The Chinese, the FBI, and maybe he's not, right? This is an accusation I've made without evidence. I've been very honest with you about that. Why have I said that? Because his behavior, not only did it radically change from his past behavior, it was so forced and over the top, it led me to believe there was something else going on. That's why I said that. Now, back to me. You said if you found out a dirty secret about a truly evil politician, would you use it against him or her or not? Well, I would not. And allow me to explain why. You start venturing into that kind of a dark world, you're going to get stuck in it. And that kind of dark world, that kind of dirty politics, it always comes back to bite you somehow, some way. I'll tell you, this was a couple election cycles ago. I won't go into names or candidates. It doesn't matter what it was. But this actually happened on the Republican side. One of the primary candidates had a supporter that was a hardcore supporter. One of these people, maybe like you, really getting into politics and getting knowledgeable about some things and whatnot. And it was this lady, it was a woman, this lady, maybe you could argue she got too into it. I don't know, but she really, really loved her primary candidate, loved it, and was always out there politicking and researching. And there's so much info out there available for people who want to read through boring documents and things like that. Long story short, she found some personal dirt it actually was related to tax stuff. That's why I brought up taxes. She brought up some personal dirt, found some personal dirt on one of the primary opponents of her candidate, right? So she found some personal dirt on him from a personal business he'd had with his wife and whatnot. And she decided to expose that for the world, put it all out on social media, and just absolutely ruined this guy. Ruined him beyond, ended, he had to drop out of his race, ruined this guy. Okay? You decided you were going to get involved politically, only you decided you wanted to play the dirty part of the game. It was about 2 months later, an aggrieved opponent of this woman came forward with some damaging information about her because of what she had done, publicized it, ruined her life. Absolutely ruined her life. Now, what happened there? What happened there was someone decided they wanted to get involved in politics, and that's good. But someone decided they wanted to take it a step further and go for the real dirty pool. Ooh, I'm going to play some dirty politics. I've seen the Netflix shows. I'm going to blackmail this guy. I'm going to do that. Okay. But once you've stepped out of the normal world and you've stepped into that world, sister, the gloves are off now. You ever see that movie Carlito's Way? We're going to do a bunch of movie lines tonight. You ever see that movie Carlito's Way? If you haven't, don't worry about it. It's a great movie. I would recommend it, not for the kids. It's essentially about this gangster. It's a gangster movie, Al Pacino, whatever. But in the movie, Al Pacino has a lawyer. And this lawyer is just a straight-up lawyer. Now, he's a lawyer for mob guys, but he's a straight-up lawyer. The lawyer ends up, I won't go into all the circumstances, he ends up killing this gangster. The gangster was blackmailing him, threatening him, and he ends up beating the guy to death and thought he would get away with it. And then the lawyer, after he beats the gangster to death, he comes to Carlito essentially saying, hey, man, what do I do now? Help me out. I beat this guy to death. What do I do? And Carlito drops this one on him.
You a gangster now. You on the other side. Whole new ball game.
Lawyer ends up getting shot in the face. You step out of that world, the normal world, the good world, and you decide you want to get dirty. You better be ready to get dirty. All right? You better be ready to get real dirty. All right. More questions. Whatever. Dear all-knowing Oracle, the question has been on my mind for years. Do you think Pfizer and the rest of Big Pharma intentionally made the jab potentially deadly to hurt Trump? With all the deep state full guns blazing after him, it only makes sense to me to poison the people and the man who had the vax made. As you know, the CDC and all the other elected and unelected turds lied through their teeth to poison as many of us as they can. Is this a crazy conspiracy, or is it at least 50-50 possible? His name is Scott. He says I can use his name. Okay. Do I believe Pfizer and Big Pharma intentionally made that jab harmful? Blowing up people's hearts, seizures, just so many vax injured in this country. I'm glad the lawsuits are moving forward like they are. There are so many people who have been cheated, who have been killed, who have been injured by all that poisonous filth. And I'm glad the lawsuits are moving forward. But do I believe Big Pharma did that intentionally? Did they come up with some vial of poison and tell Trump it was great? Well, no, I don't believe that. I'm not saying I'm right. I don't believe that. But I do believe certain things about it. And I'll lay all those things out in just a moment. My thoughts on how all that worked and how all that went down. Before I get to any of that, I want to do this. I want to talk to you about something that's important. Your betting. You see, you spend 1/3 of your life in bed. Isn't that an incredible stat? You have to think about it when you first hear it, don't you? Wow, 1/3, that sounds like a lot, but you do. 8 hours a day. You spend 1/3 of your life at least in bed. Do you have good sheets? Have you made it a priority to make sure the bedding you have is good? MyPillow is not only a patriotic company, not only is their stuff made in America, they have the greatest sheets ever. They're Giza Dream Sheets. For $59.98, you can get a queen size set of Giza Dream Sheets. King size are just $10 more. You can get my slippers 60% off. Basically, my pillow has some great deals right now, and you need to go take advantage of it. Plus, free shipping. Take advantage of that, because that's backbreaking anymore. MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse. All right? MyPillow.com, promo code Jesse, or call 800-845-0544.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Friday, and Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, if you miss a single second of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review talking about how handsome I am. All right, let's get to this question, because it's a doozy of a question, and I've had it before. Essentially, the guy asked, do you think Big Pharma, Pfizer, and the rest of them made the jab deadly on purpose to hurt Trump? You have this whole system against him. Did they purposely create something such that's so harmful to hurt him? No, I don't believe that. That's just me talking, though. You could be right. No, I don't believe that. Here's what I believe about all that. And some of this may be hard to hear. And remember, if at any point in time you get offended by anything I'm about to say, please remember, I don't care. All right? So this is how I view it. COVID got here. When COVID got here, some of this I know, by the way, and this much I know. No. And when I say no, I mean I had people directly next to the president himself in the White House. I know this. When COVID got here, there was a debate in the White House how to handle it. It was not a universal opinion. About half of the White House staff, they were chirping in Trump's ear, you can't lock down a country, that's insane, you can't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. He had some great hardcore right-wing people who were warning him, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. But as was often the case for his 4 years in office, Jared Kushner and his dork wing, they had a more influence on Trump than they should have. And they were telling him the exact opposite. They were taking the mainstream media line. No, millions will die. Millions will die. Lock them away. Lock them away. And Trump personally, let's make this personal for a moment. This is well known by now. Trump personally is a germaphobe. He's one of those guys. It's just one of his little phobia things. He's all about germs and stuff like that. So a disease, a virus like that would be uniquely frightening to Trump. And the person who had the most influence on him, Kushner, and others in the White House were telling him, lock down, lock down, lock down, lock down. Okay, so Trump decides to lock down. 15 days to slow the spread. That's what we're doing. We're locking down. Well, it did not take Trump long to realize that this was a catastrophe, locking down the country, and that locking down the country was going to destroy the economy that was roaring before COVID got here. People forget how great the economy was before COVID got here. So Trump tried by that point in time to reverse course. This is a few weeks, a month into COVID. These are things I know. Your opinion on it, I'm not really interested in, because these are things I know. I'm not, I'll tell you when I get to the theory portion. This I know. No, Trump wanted to reverse course. But by that point in time, even for the president of the United States of America, the train had already left the station. Once you introduce the idea of lockdowns to the American people, once you tell them that the appropriate response to a virus is to lock down, you cannot grab all that toothpaste and stuff it back in the tube. By that point in time, the governors, the mayors, the everyone, they had taken off. It was lockdown without end, lockdown without end. Now, that brings us, again, these are things I know. I'll tell you when I get to the theory portion. Now, that brings us to the vaccine portion of it. The Trump administration saw what was happening to the country, to the economy they'd built, and this was a concern. They were starting to get concerned about re-election. Because a good economy gets you reelected. A bad economy gets you bounced from the White House. Their desperation, I'm not sure if that's how I want to put it, but they were very worried. And what they wanted was a solution. They needed a solution. Something. Give me something. Whatever that something is. That's when Trump began speaking publicly about hydroxychloroquine. Remember, a lot of people were talking about hydroxychloroquine fixing coronavirus or ivermectin fixing coronavirus. They were trying to grasp. There's something out there. And that's when Operation Warp Speed came up. Hey, what if we streamline the process? Basically, what if we made Big Pharma? What if we told Big Pharma they didn't have to jump through as many hoops? They didn't have to do as much testing if they could simply give us a COVID cure or vaccine of some kind. That's how it went. Hey, Big Pharma, we'll cut the red tape. We'll cut the red tape for you. Just give us something. Now, let's go to Big Pharma. These quote vaccines, which they're not. They're not even designed to prevent you from getting the disease. So they're not vaccines, they're therapeutics. But they had been in development for years before COVID. Now, not ready to bring to market yet, not properly tested yet at all. But the big pharma industry, and I'm not as much of an expert on, or I'm not an expert at all on this stuff. So I don't want to speak in any more depth than that, except I know the big pharmaceutical companies viewed this injectable therapeutic thing, gene therapy is really what it is. They viewed it and still view it as kind of a wave of the future. This is going to be the wave of the future. This is going to be the thing in the future that we can tweak it here and fix this, and then we'll tweak it there and fix that. So they had this thing. They had this thing that was almost still in the idea phase, and they were just trying to develop it and roll it out. Along comes Operation Warp Speed, one of the worst, most damaging laws in the history of the United States of America, essentially giving a blank check to the big pharma companies. And Operation Warp Speed gets presented to Trump as a solution to get him out. He promotes it. Republicans and Democrats both pass it. And boom, Operation Warp Speed's a thing. Except whatever these pharmaceutical companies were working on in whatever way, and there are different companies, right? It was not ready. It was not at all ready. They hadn't tested it. There's a reason they have to do so much testing on things. They were testing it on lab rats and stuff. It wasn't ready. But they get, hey, no liability for you, and here's a big check. And then the checks began rolling in. We'll discuss the rest of it in just a moment. Give me a second.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.